to get out of sin, praise God, that they can confide in another brother or sister who can help them in that sin. But praise God, because so many folk have taken what somebody has confided in them, and they have taken and put it out on CNN. Praise God, folks in the church don't even want to come and, praise God, share those intimate, those things that they are hurting with on the inside of them. Hallelujah. So don't share that. See, a wounded person would do that. Praise God. And let me tell you something, folks, young people, when you are on that Jericho road, you fall in among those thieves, and that thief strip you of all your decency. Wound you, praise God, to the point here the devil will do just like he did this man in this parable. He'll walk away from it and leave him half dead. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's good to be half dead. And I want you to ask, why is it good to be half dead? Jesus can do more with a half dead person. A half alive person. So what am I trying to say? Praise God. This man fell in, praise God, the hands of this thief. Praise God, that wounded him and stripped him of everything.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Glad to have you. Amen. And Sister Barnes, we're good to see her back up. Amen. And moving around. You're doing better than me. Amen. And we thank God for all of you. Now I need for us to turn with me in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Y'all pray for me because I took a sinus tab and my mouth trying to dry off. Amen. Romans chapter number 8.
Yes, sir.
And we want to read verses 35 through 39 with the emphasis on verse 37, where we'll also draw our subject. Amen. Everybody got to say amen. Everybody need a little more time, say hold on. All right, we're going to wait on it. Don't worry about it. We're going to do this together. Beginning at verse number 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Yes.
Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of the soul? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. The grass withers and the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to preach your word. We ask now that you let your Holy Spirit move freely in our midst and grant us a fresh anointing of your spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's what I want to talk about. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. That's my subject. I want to deal with that. And so let me begin by saying that these words were written to a church that would soon go through, thank you, Ursus, terrible persecution. In just a few years, Paul's hypothetical situation would turn into painless realities. But notice that in verse 35, he starts by asking the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he goes on to name a few things that were tried by asking some more questions. He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? But he ends this chapter in verse 39 by letting us know, no matter what happens to us, no matter where we are, we can never be separated from the love of God. Because he shows in verse 39 that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And yet today we find that many folk allow any little negative thing, a trial, to cause them to walk away from the Lord. And many times cause some to quit church and the like. Why? Because they don't really know who they are in Christ. And don't realize the power that is in them. And so they allow fear and negative feelings about others to drive them away. But here in the text, Paul is trying to show us, as he did this church at Rome, that suffering should not drive us away from God, but it should help us to identify with him and allow his love to heal us. My brothers and sisters, these verses 35 through 39, contain the most comforting promises in Scripture. Because believers have always had to face hardship. But here Paul explained that it is impossible for any kind of hardship, persecution, or suffering to separate us from God's love. And that's why Peter was able to say in 1 Peter 4:12-13, he said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. He said, but rejoice to the extent that your praise of that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In other words, he said, just don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. And so according to the word of God, the children of God are perpetually victorious people. Now, we can't always see it, nor do we always feel like it, and sometimes we don't even live like it, but it's true nonetheless. Because this verse before us today, verse 37, has brought comfort and hope to the hearts of children for over 2,000 years. Because it reminds us, Brother Brown, that we are more than conquerors. In spite of how the things appear to us, in spite of how we may feel about our circumstances. And so this morning I want to spend a little time in verse 37 because the fact revealed in this verse clearly reminds us that we are more than conquerors. But now, again, I say you might not feel like a conqueror today, but regardless of how you feel, this verse offers hope, it offers peace and encouragement for those who feel discouraged, those who feel defeated and overwhelmed by life. And so with your prayers, we hope to show that the fact revealed here in our text actually teaches us that we are more than conquerors. Now, the first thing the text reveals is the reality of our conquest. Note Paul uses the phrase more than conquerors. Now, this translates a word that only appears in the New Testament. It refers to those who gain a surpassing victory. It means to be completely victorious, to carry away an overwhelming victory. Now, it literally has the idea of being super conquerors. Now, Armstead didn't say this, but that's what the Bible says we are. But many times, that is not always how we feel, because some believers seem to allow life to overwhelm them. But when Paul writes that we are super conquerors, he uses a tense that suggests present tense active situation. In other words, he is saying that Christians keep on winning a glorious victory. He's saying that even when all of life is arrayed against us, we are still super conquerors. Meaning, regardless of how things feel to us or look to us, we are still more than conquerors. My brothers and sisters, that's the clear testimony of the Word of God. Note in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, Paul says to the Corinthian church and us this morning, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. But here he's talking about having victory over death and the grave through Jesus Christ. And so our prayer should be that we would accept by faith the promises of God concerning the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Our prayer should also be that God will help us to live out the victory in our lives every day. We ought to be able to live it out in spite of how things look to us or how we feel about our circumstance. But not only does the text reveal the reality of our conquest, but it also reveals the realm of our conquest. For Paul says we are more than conquerors in all these things. Do you see it in the text? He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. But you know, the biggest problem with most Christians is that many of us have the idea that victory only occurs when we are living a life that is trouble, affliction, and heartache free. But that's not the case. The text here says that we are more than conquerors in spite of everything the world and the devil can throw at us. But now that these things Paul referred to can be found in verse 33 and 30 through 35, because many of these things are a common part of living. We note that verse 33 reveals that we are more than conquerors in spite of those who charge us, meaning we are victorious over all those who challenge our relationship with the Lord. Because no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody say about us, it was God who justified us. It was God who declared us righteous in Christ, and nothing will ever change his mind. We are more than conquerors in spite of those who in verse 31 condemned us, 34 condemned us, meaning we are victorious over those who would declare that we are unworthy before the Lord. Because it was Jesus Christ who died for us on the cross and shed his blood to save us, and no one can undo what Christ has done for us on the cross. We are more than conquerors because, yes, Lord, no one or anything can separate us from God's love. Even though the world and the devil attacks are frequent and many times severe, yet in spite of everything they throw in our direction, we are still victorious over all their efforts to defeat and destroy us. Look at the list of attacks the children of God face in this life. Verse 35 says tribulation, meaning to be squeezed or to feel pressure. Now, this is a problem all people face. Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Now, but listen to what Jesus said in John 16:23. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Then there is distress, literally a narrow place. It means to be hemmed in by one's circumstance, to be trapped with no way out. Then there's persecution, suffering inflicted on us because of our relationship with Jesus. He said famine, a lack of necessary resources. This is a byproduct of persecution. Paul went on to say nakedness and peril, threat of imminent and awful danger. And finally he says the sword, a threat of murder. The cold, hard, death-dealing instrument that set many believers on out into eternity. But still, we are more than conquerors, not by avoiding these things, but by triumphing over them through Jesus Christ. Yes, our pain and suffering is very real, but God, yes, Lord, but so is God's purpose. And that's why we must always remember that God's plan for our lives is rarely the same as our plan for our life. And so we must learn to trust the Lord because he knows what he's doing. My brothers and sisters, and allowing trouble and persecution to come into our lives mean that he's refining our lives. But the Bible says in plain and simple terms, 1 Peter 1:7, he said, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire and purifying gold. And your faith is more precious than gold. Yes. So when your faith remains strong, yes, through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the world. And so just as a goldsmith heats the ore to remove the impurities, God uses trials and afflictions of life to rid us of our imperfection and impurities of the flesh. In other words, he's actually, yes, Lord, remaking our lives. And when he finishes with us, we will be less like ourselves and more like his son, Jesus Christ. Note in verse 29 of this 8th chapter, Paul simply say, for God foreknew us, for God knew his people in advance, and he predestined me, and he chose us to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. But not only that, he is realigning our lives. And that's what Paul was talking about again in 2 Corinthians 12:9. After he had prayed Reverend Coleman to God to heal him from some type of affliction three times, and God's answer to his prayer was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ will rest on me. In other words, Paul found out that when he is suffering for Christ's sake, and when he becomes humanly weak, then he's spiritually strong. And in the same way, God is working in us to bring us to the place where life ceases to be about us and all about him and his will for our lives. But now the process can be very painful, but it's very necessary if the Lord is to be glorified in us. My brothers and sisters, we must remember that God will get more glory from our lives when we are being purified
that he will when he allows us to live lives of ease. Now that truth can be seen in Job, but the truth can also be seen in us, because let me ask you, when do you pray more? When does the Bible mean the most? When do you likely seek the Lord? Well, the answer is simple, and I believe you agree, because it's universal, because we are more likely to pray and seek God when the heat is on. And that's just a reality. And that is why the Lord allowed trials to come our way. But as the songwriter said, my trials come only to make me strong. And so just as it takes time, heat and pressure to transform coal into diamonds, it takes the same circumstances to transform sinners into saints. Which brings us to the final movement in the text, and that is the reason for our conquest. Note the text says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In other words, Paul tells us that the reason we are victorious in life is because of God's love for us through his Son. Meaning our victory does not lie within ourselves, but our victory rests in him alone. Just consider for a moment, everything that we have, we don't deserve. No, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, meaning all we deserve is death. But then that conjunction come up and say, but the gift of God is eternal life. But yet we still don't deserve God's gift, because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9 that we're saved by grace through faith. Yes. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Meaning all we deserve is eternal death and damnation. But because of God's love for us, he offered to all who receive it by faith the gift of God, which is salvation or eternal life. And so just think about it for a moment, what God did to prove his love. But the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Well, when did the Lord prove his love to us? Well, Paul got the answer in Romans 5:8. He said, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still condemned to eternal damnation, Christ died for us. Not only did he die for us, but Christ died in our place. Even plainer, Paul said, but God showed how much he loved us by having Christ to die for us, even though we were sinful. And so Paul is trying to show us this morning that the love of God for his children is so vast, so deep, and so far-reaching that God wants us to know today that nothing can separate us from his great love. And so verse 38 and 39 are actually commentaries on the depth, breadth, height, and length of God's great love for his children. Paul tells us in these verses that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now the word separate means to divide, to put asunder, to divorce or put away. And notice it reveals in verse 39 that nothing shall be able to separate us. Now the word able here means to have power. In other words, none of these things that people fear so much have any power to divide us from God's awesome love. And so when you go through these things, we need to be assured in our heart that even the pains and even the sorrows and afflictions are the evidence of God's love for us. My brothers and sisters, Paul knew and understood about trials,
yes,
and tribulation.
Yes,
yet he tells us in verse 38 that he is persuaded. Now that phrase is in the perfect tense, meaning that Paul stands convinced and nothing can change his mind about the matter, because he knew that God knows what he's doing, and that saints can count on his boundless eternal love that comes to us through Jesus Christ.
Yes,
we can rely on it to see us through whatever we may face in life. And that's why Paul's prayer for the believers in the Ephesus, and it is for us this morning in Ephesians 3:17-21, that we will come to know that God's love is total. It reaches every corner of our experience. It's wide, and it covers the breadth of our own experience. And it reaches out to the world. God's love is long, Brother Coleman. It continues for the length of our lives. God's love is high. It rises to the height of our celebration and elation. His love is deep. It reaches to the depth of our discouragement, despair, and even death. And so when you feel shut out and you feel isolated, remember that you can never be lost to God's love. And that's why we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so as I try to move to the close, Paul says that we are more than conquerors. Now we don't have to do anything to ensure our victory, meaning victory is ours because the Lord loves us, and he promised that his love is the guarantee of our conquest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a guarantee of our conquest of all things that come against us. But the question is, are you convinced? Because if you're saved, you are, whether you are convinced or not, you are more than a conqueror. Now, you may not always feel like this is true, and you may not always live like it's true, but the Bible, God's word, assures us that it is true. And so our strength comes, our power comes, our victory comes when we allow this truth to become a reality in our lives. But in order for it to become a reality, we must take God at his word and learn to trust him by faith, even when nothing that is happening in us or to us seems to back it up. Because in the end, victory all boiled down to faith, meaning I either believe what the Bible say, or I believe what my eyes see, my mind think, or what other folks say. And so let me ask you this morning, what should you do with this message? My brothers and sisters, I think we should seek the Lord's face and ask him for faith to live like we are more than conquerors. But in closing, to give you a real picture of the phrase more than conquerors, this phrase comes from a Greek word, hupo-nikaio. It's a compound word, hupo mean under, and nikaio mean conqueror. The picture of this phrase can be seen in the Greek Olympic Games. Well, a group of people would start scaling a mountain. Some would fall by the wayside. Some would get almost to the top and give up. But if you made it to the top, they'll raise your arms up and say, you are a conqueror. But then they'll go back down the mountain. Now watch this, because this time they'll put a heavy load on your shoulder. And they'll start back up the mountain. Some would fall by the wayside. Some would get almost to the top and quit. But if you made it to the top, they'll hold up your hand and say, you are more than a conqueror. Are you here with me? We are not just a conqueror, but we are more than a conqueror. Because even though we're sometimes burdened down with trial and tribulation, if we're able to hold on and not give up, we're able to do so because we trust in the love of God who gives us